What's up, friend? How are you doing? Welcome to Plus Ultra. This podcast is for online entrepreneurs who have already launched their first offer and have already made their first sale. You're going to learn the mindsets, methods, and actionable steps that business owners took so that you can truly earn your freedom and design a life you don't need an escape from. We release weekly episodes on Wednesdays. Some are in interview format, others are in monologue format. I'm your host, Mateo Carrasco, but my friends call me Mateo for short. I was a management consultant straight out of college here in Washington, D.C., and then I worked remotely in 2020 from Denver, Colorado, and all of 2021 from Oahu, Hawaii. From there, life got really interesting. I started my own business, Veloxys, where I help business owners with their systems, their automations, integrations, and I help from prospecting to fulfillment. This podcast, Plus Ultra, is going to help you with the major roadblocks that will appear on your entrepreneurial journey. And more importantly, the people I will interview are other online business owners who have really amazing offers, life advice, and business stories. And with that, let's dive right into the episode. Welcome to Plus Ultra. All righty. So we're here with Robert Fanilla III. How are you doing, man?
Amazing.
Hell yeah, man. So Robert, he is the executive vice president of OpTech Payments, and he's in Massachusetts. And Rob and I connected late last year. Started talking, and he's really big into sales and payment processes and payments. And I just wanted to talk to you about that and how things are a bit different B2B and B2C.
Yeah, absolutely. And besides just the payment industry sales, I have done insurance too. That's where my B2C came from.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you've got the experience, and the show here, it's designed to help really lay out the landscape of what a lot of online businesses and business owners are going to come across. And this thing with Stripe, everyone and their mother is using Stripe. And I know you have some experience with that, and I'd love to get your insights with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Stripe, not going to knock them at all with their API. It's amazing, super powerful, plugs into everything pretty much that everyone's using nowadays, for from shop to any website, WooCommerce, Wix, all the good stuff.
Yeah.
So the only thing that you can really knock Stripe for is the way they board their merchants, which a lot of people that I know personally and just across the industry have had trouble with, is they do it backwards. So in the credit card processing industry, whenever you board a merchant, you're supposed to get all their info, put them through the underwriting team, make sure they check all these boxes before you approve them for processing. Stripe just approves people for processing, and then later on down the line, when your sales volume is super high, they red flag your account and freeze everything.
Wow. And then they verify if it's legit business.
Yes. And a lot of times this verification process can take a couple weeks, a couple months, or maybe you just get your funds frozen and you never see however much is sitting in your processing account. Some people, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow. And I remember when, that's crazy. I remember when I was setting up my account, it was very specific, kind of like IRS-y. They were like, what kind of business is this? Right. And like answering all these questions. Is there a different limit per your business model? Like, do service-based businesses, do they have a different threshold for these freezes?
So every single different vertical has a different risk category. Right. So just for example's sake, when you're doing, actually, even if it's not a physical business, like cigar shops can sell on e-commerce platforms as well. That's way higher risk than if you're selling t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And that all comes with chargebacks, risk for fraud, and all that good stuff. So a lot of times, if you're just selling an online course, they might throw it up and say, oh, we think you're committing fraud because no one can sell this many online courses.
Yeah. I've heard one horror story of someone who literally right now he's still battling to like unfreeze his account. So that's crazy.
Even you know someone. It's insane. And I'm not surprised because you know a lot of guys in the online space selling some digital product.
Yeah, man. So what about different options and like, yeah, no, Stripe is awesome. It's definitely been great, but
I know that you are familiar with like a whole suite of different options and payment processors. Like, what has your journey been like in this space?
In this space, a lot of learning. When I first started out, I was just labeled as an account manager, but I would just go door to door and sell to physical brick and mortar businesses. And then later on down the line, after some issues with my old company that I won't mention too much about, I met the CEO of Optech Payments, Mitchell Fleming, and he showed me how much more vast the options are and who we can work with and what we can do for people. And he introduced me to the gateway side where you can plug into Shopify, you can plug into WooCommerce through the, the WordPress websites.
Yeah.
And he was just showing me all those avenues. And then I started connecting more with people like yourself and just other creators, like this guy named Ego Driven. I talked to him here and there, go to his spaces.
Oh, the Twitter thing?
Yeah, sometimes Spaces on Twitter, and then he'll have a group call every Tuesday. I think he just calls it Talk Tuesday or something like that.
Nice.
But I was also hearing more and more about Stripe and people's accounts getting frozen. I even saw it on Instagram before. If you know who Wes Watson is, he's just a really big fitness influencer. He had it happen to him where his account got frozen. I think he got his funds back, but he also makes $2 million a month. So I'm sure he paid a lawyer a few grand to just get his stuff back for him.
Yeah.
And he even switched from Stripe to, I forget who he switched to. But as far as the options for gateways go, they're not all created equal. Stripe is second to no one right now. And then there's a few up and comers that I work with. Like one of them's NMI Gateway and the other one's Fluid Pay. Fluid Pay is better than NMI due to the fact that the creators actually came from NMI. They sold their shares in NMI and said, we're going to make our own. And right now they have an amazing API. They have amazing services, especially when it comes to the biggest issue in our industry of chargebacks. They have, I forget what they call it, Attack Dog. That's what they call their chargeback fighter.
I love that. And I'm gonna put a pin in that on Attack Dog. I want to ask more about that. But I realize that someone listening right now, maybe they have not yet launched their business and maybe they're asking themselves, all right, so payment processors, what does this look like as like a grand map, like the process? For instance, maybe people notice that certain places they go, certain like shops, they ask for a certain level of payment amount before you can even use your credit card, because these merchants, they all charge a little bit, a percentage of things. Like, could you just take a step back and explain the relationship between the issuing bank, like the banks, the different banks, everything that comes at play when it comes time to do a transaction, whether online or in person? Like, what is a merchant? What's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, you have your banks that issue credit cards, and then you have acquiring banks, and then you have all the channels in between that process everything. So a lot of banks, TD Bank, Chase, Bank of America, Santander, they have a processing, merchant processing unit, if you will, or sector. And they kind of white label the processing. So someone else is doing the processing due to conflict of interest laws. Those banks aren't allowed to process their own cards because then they would be double dipping on all the fees. Right. So, yeah. That's why I have a job, because I'm the bridge between the issuing banks and the acquiring banks. And that's where we can work the numbers, see what interchange rates are. Just a quick summary on interchange rates is Visa, Discover, MasterCard, all of them, Amex, they all, every April and October, they come up with the interchange rates that they are going to charge to use their cards. And it can fluctuate up and down. When it goes down, I look good. When it goes up, I look bad, even though I'm not the one doing it. But what I do is I have to charge slightly above that to make a profit and make sure everything runs smoothly for the merchants. Does that answer your question, kind of?
Yeah. That was really good. That's good landscape, really understanding things. So what determines those rates, though?
The market.
Okay.
Market and the situation with the economy. So when the economy was booming back in 2020 with COVID, they went down a lot because a lot of people were spending still way more than we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And all the card issuers said, we can bump it down a few basis points. It's not going to hurt us. We're still making a killing and it'll make people spend more anyway.
Yeah. 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 That gets into consumer psychology a lot, which you must be very familiar with, I know you have a sales background. Maybe we can go into the psychology of just sales psychology. What have you learned?
That some people want to be sold. They just don't like to feel like they've been sold. So we're all always looking for something, especially if you put in an inquiry for a quote on a product or a service. Because in the back of your mind, you're not thinking, oh, I want to waste this guy's time and just take up however long his quotes normally take just to hear him say a number and me say no.
Mm-hmm.
Back of your mind, you're thinking, oh, I could use that. It could help me this way, that way, and this way. But you're not going to tell the salesman on the other end of the phone why it'll help you. That's why you have to ask strategic questions. Oh, what really made you take this call? I know we're talking about credit card processing. It's kind of a big change when you're dealing with the bloodline of your business, your income. And it's just all about getting people to open up and trust you.
Yeah. Yeah. The uncovering pain points and really drilling them down. Sometimes I started my whole sales career journey with setting first. And that was my only job, is to like identify these pain points for the closer, like really identify them and like hammer it down. So have you noticed a shift in the sales approach you have when you were doing insurance versus now?
Yes, because at the end of the day, people are people.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with, I was dealing with the elderly and the disabled selling insurance. I was doing Medicare insurance. The problems are different. The emotions are the same, but the problems are different. So people are emotional creatures for the most part, even men. I know a lot of people like to say men aren't, but we are. We're just a little bit better at controlling them.
Yeah.
And you have to sell on their emotion. You have to figure out what they're feeling and then how you can get them to realize that you have the solution to fix that feeling or make them feel a different way, feel better about their situation or their problem, whatever it may be. And I went from insurance, it was, I don't want to say more aggressive. I guess it didn't change too much. Just, I think now I'm more aggressive, more assertive. Because before I was dealing with the little old ladies on the phone, I wouldn't need to say, oh, you have to do this or like something bad's going to happen. With business owners, I have to kind of sometimes give them a wake-up call, say, hey, if you don't get this fixed, your funds might be held for months and then you're going to lose your business.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned it right at the beginning too. They kind of told on themselves. They recognize it's an urgent need. Otherwise they would not have filled out the form.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's a good perspective. You know, there's a really good podcast between Dean Graziosi and Alex Hormozi where they talk about sales, and they had this imagery of the salesman standing shoulder to shoulder with a prospect, and you're attacking the dragon, the monster, the problem head on. And it's not like if you ever think gotcha when you close somebody, then you're just not going to win, because you're actually supposed to help them with a problem. And there's no better way to help a problem if you don't know how to. Like, you have to be able to communicate in the pain language. Like, just, I know that this hurts you in X, Y, Z way. And this is the ABC solution like we have.
Yeah, you said it perfectly. And people, unfortunately, including myself, are very stubborn. And they, even when they need help, they don't like to ask for it or to even take it when it's offered.
Yeah, man. Dude, I'm curious, what is one prospect of one moment you remember, like in closing, that you were like really, they were giving you that kind of resistance, but then you closed them? Do you remember what kind of line you used or what tactic you used that really like pushed them across the line?
A lot of times, the ones that I remember the most are the ones that don't even want to talk to me at first.
Mm.
And I've taken Jeremy Miner's course, if you've heard of him.
Yeah.
A lot of amazing info in there. I still review it to this day, and I tell anyone I'm training, I say, hey, you should read this black book of questions. It's really good. And the best is when they just go, I don't even know. I don't want to talk to you. And I go, I'm not even sure I can help you. Mm. And they go, what? Because they never hear that. They go, oh, no, I can definitely help you. Because at the end of the day, I just recently saw a clip from Jeremy. He goes, yeah, you don't want to be the guy that, oh, I can sell water to a ski boat. I can sell snow to an Eskimo. I can sell evil to the devil. You don't want to be that guy because you're doing the thing, like you said, the I gotcha.
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, I helped you.
Yeah. That's a really good, yeah, no, Jeremy's awesome. That is a like subtle nuance, but it's kind of like with girls, like you're also selling yourself with girls.
Yeah,
it's all girls. It's the chase, right? Like if they feel like you're chasing them, then you scare them away.
Absolutely. If you're just sitting back and you're chilling and you go, yeah, it's cool if you like me or if you don't.
Yeah. And I think tone has a huge, that was my major problem when I first started out. I'm a really enthusiastic person,
yep.
Particularly when I get on a call with a qualified prospect at first, I was like really excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is for you, bro. Like we got you. And I would always end my intonation like really up high.
Yeah.
But then I started saying, no, you know what? This is 2K. And like, this is what you need. Like just really like, my tone ending it on a down tone, like mm-hmm. making it more matter of factly. Like, this is like, it gives you status. Small things like that give you status, which is crazy.
Yeah. The laid back and I don't even really need it. It gets way more sales than even when you're excited and you are excited to work with the person and help them and improve their situation. It's just some cynical human nature that we have going on.
Yeah. Honestly, bro, but you know what? It makes the world that much more fun.
Yeah, it's like a big puzzle you're trying to put together and a maze that you're trying to navigate, figuring out the person's emotions.
Yeah. So, yeah, I saw Jeremy Miner. He had this book that I know exactly what you're talking about. What are some other insights you got from that book?
Look busy, even when you're not.
Okay.
So, and don't act like you're available 24/7 for these people. The only time I tell them I'm available 24/7 is after they sign on with me. I go, if the house is on fire, if your business is about to crumble because you have something wrong with your processing, I go, you have my cell phone. Just call me.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I'm probably in a meeting. I'm probably talking to Mateo on a podcast about cool stuff. But you just can't look too available because then they think, oh, this guy's got nothing going on.
Nah. Yeah.
He's not important.
Yeah, no, that's huge, bro. That's huge. And yeah, you should be busy. There's actually, it's funny because you've been very helpful with me, like as I've been building this new offer I have. Like that's actually one of the main things. It's like I'm so busy with my actual business, which is the automation thing,
yep.
And my Instagram. I don't post about my clients. I don't post about my my zap, like my workflows, like I feel like it's not Instagram material, let's say. So when I got the idea of, you know what, I'm going to help people who have their 9-to-5s and like show them what I use myself to leverage that 9-to-5 and also have remote location freedom, I can post about that. But what I found is that if you really want to be successful online as a content creator, you literally have to post every single day. Like
yeah.
You said, like you look like you have nothing else going on. Like you're an influencer, you're posting stories, all this stuff. I generally don't have the time to do that. So that was like a conflict. Like my growth with that, it's kind of goes against being like an actual business owner. And I think it's also like an excuse though, because you obviously have Hormozy who's posting like 30 times a day, but he has a team. So I just need to like outsource this and get a team. But that's
yeah,
that's so interesting, bro, because you see someone who is posting themselves all the time, you start to question, like, how are you not busy? I thought you were making 20K a month. Like, how do you have the time to do a talking head video?
Yeah. those guys, as far as I know, I've seen some of them peel back the curtain and tell you how they do it. And they'll take a whole day where they just do 4 hours of recording with a couple outfit changes.
That's brilliant.
I'm surprised you haven't heard that.
Changing your clothes. That's brilliant.
Yeah. I forget the guy's name, but I was just obviously scrolling on some reels and he just popped up and he goes, yeah, I'll just take a day and just go through hundreds of ideas that I have, record them, see how they look, change my outfit throughout it. So I have content for a month.
Robert, you just changed everything, bro.
Hey, I always like to help you. I like seeing guys win, especially if I like what you're doing.
Thanks, bro. Yeah, yeah. No, my Sundays, I intentionally, like, I leave my Sundays pretty open as I can. But that might be a content day. That's a really good idea.
Yeah. Sundays are my day where I tell people that's the only day you might be having a hard time to lock me down.
Yeah. Well, that goes into the whole thing of creating your schedule, or else your schedule like creates you, and like working into discipline. And that, I would like to hear your thoughts on like work ethic, particularly now as a young man, you obviously went in insurance first and they're like navigating your career. I'm changing my projections too. How do you navigate work ethic as a young man?
I just keep a couple things in my mind. I don't believe in stagnation. You're either progressing or regressing, growing or dying. Nice. How you do anything is how you do everything. And then I always have it written on my calendar up there. It says, tell yourself who you are with actions.
I love that.
Because I can sit here all day and tell you, oh, I'm a good sales guy. Yeah, I know sales. But until I show you, hey, I was number one at my insurance company and they're the largest in the nation, and I show you my numbers and my hours that I was number one in both. Number one in sales, number one in hours. That's when I really prove it, because I was like, yeah, I talked my talk, but here are the numbers that back up my talk, because numbers don't lie.
Yeah, inarguable. Absolutely.
Yep.
Dude.
And a lot of us young guys, so for a while, I didn't have it hit me. It hit me 2020 when I was unemployed, living off unemployment, a bum, just sitting in my apartment with my now ex-girlfriend, and she was even nagging me to get a job before I got into insurance sales. And it just hit me. I go, I'm gonna amount to nothing. No one in my family is gonna care about me, and I'm just gonna make them all disappointed. And that was the biggest motivator for me. I was like, yep, we gotta start doing something.
Yeah man, the fire within. Absolutely.
Yeah, you either let it kill you or you just burn brighter than it.
Yeah man. I feel like the accelerant for that fire is meeting the right people, making the right connections.
Amen to that.
Particularly this past year, bro, I was in Europe for 6 months and I met a lot of these tribe guys. And dude, when you meet someone and they're making, for instance, I met one kid who made 1.1 million euros a month.
And that's insane.
What's really awesome is like he didn't share that until like the absolute last day, when people were like, oh yeah, like what are your revenue, like they're actually going into numbers, like trying to do business with each other at the end.
Yeah,
he was super humble throughout the whole thing, like they gave like authenticity. And then yeah, no, like it's insane once you start seeing numbers like that, and then you have met the person beforehand, you realize these, like they're smart, yeah, but it's not like so far out of reach. It's just a muscle game of just consistency, and that opens up your mind like nothing else. We're like, dude, if that amount of money, that amount of impact is available to anybody, then it's available to me, which is crazy.
Yeah, a lot of times I've been told I come off as cocky, but in my mind, I always tell people, I go, if I can do it, you can do it. I'm an idiot. I know nothing. You can do it if I'm doing it. And when I used to sell insurance, I came on and everyone, we had our meetings. I was actually similar to a setter. Before I sold, I was a qualifier. So I would just screen people with questions to see if I could send them to the sales guys.
Yeah.
And they were saying, oh, who's the rookie of the year? Who's going to be the best? I kept going, me, I am. First day of busy season, I get a big fat zero. I didn't get one sale. And then I just came out of the gate swinging. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to outwork everyone. and I got better. I honed my skills, and then I didn't win Rookie of the Year. My second year, my second busy season, I won Agent of the Year. Nice. But it was just mostly because every time someone else clocked out, I was there 4 or 5 hours after they clocked out. I was the last person to clock out from my group almost every single night.
Nice, bro. I want to soak that in real fast. That moment, those moments you doing that, do you find that it was the same motivator of not disappointing someone else, or did you oscillate between a few?
I'm very competitive as well. So if I'm on a team, I try to be healthy competitive, not bring them down, like tell them, let's go, catch up to me, you can do it.
Yeah.
I just like being number one. I've always hated losing.
That's the best, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. I had some days where I was clocking 16 hours just sitting at my desk talking to people, and I would have maybe between 30 minute to a 45 minute break.
Nice, man. Dude, Hormozy says it, volume negates luck.
Exactly.
That's it.
I was just hammering the volume. And a lot of young guys need to hear that it's okay to be tired. It's okay to be hungry. It's okay to work and maybe miss a meal. You're not going to die over it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. No, you just got to get out there. Dude, and this is the time to do it, honestly, because you and I, we're both childless, right? And there's no dependence at the moment, and you're young. So yeah, if there's a time to take risks and just maybe not sleep a little bit, or maybe, you know, yeah, this is the time.
I'm glad you said that too, because I know a lot of people these day and ages don't want kids. Personally, I want 6 at least.
Nice. Same. Yeah.
That's what I'm doing it for too. My future wife, my future kids. So if someone is listening and they want kids, think of it that way. If you want to be selfless, think, this isn't just for me, this is for my future family.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. I've been speaking with a lot of people with gray hair also. My grandfather had his first kid, my uncle, when he was 21, right?
Thanks.
And when I hear a lot of people from the old school, I'm from the old school too, mm-hmm. That first kid gives you even more motivation to work harder, which is crazy. It's like, if you have that discipline beforehand, that's awesome. Like we're trying to build something for them. But I can't wait until you get that first kid, because apparently it transforms everything. You put everything into higher gear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When you say you're from the old school, you mean tradition wise?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say you're only 26, no?
Yeah, no, I just turned 28, yeah.
28, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, no, there's some timeless, you know, concepts that have paved the way for certain civilizations to explode. Yep. So I don't really try to lose sight of those.
Yeah, I won't get too conspiratorial, but there is an attack on the family unit.
100%, 100%. So I wanted to thank you also for your contributions to and the calls. Like when I was asking for help on putting together the offer, you showed me the service level agreements and those concepts. That was very helpful. And I wanted to talk back about making connections, because I've had calls with a lot of HR people, managers, and obviously workers, and not everyone has that abundance mindset. Whereas conceal things. They think that I wanted to build something similar, so I have my own community. I'm not going to share stuff because I have my own community.
Or, oh, you got to pay me for it.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I see is unless you're in financial markets where there's an actual winner and loser to bets and trades, everything else is the pie expanding. So if you win, I win. If you build a community, it's particularly personal branding. I cannot connect 100% like you, because I am not you. You have all these components that make you you, and I have all the components that make me me. So there's no way I can really steal. If anything, we can cross-pollinate and both grow, which is great. But I've noticed things with you, things with certain of my friends and connections. It's you have a project and you have passion and you have a vision. I'm going to help you as much as I can. And I just wanted to thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That is an amazing compliment to get. And that's just my mindset. I go to a lot of networking events too. And I'll just be talking to someone, and obviously I'm there to find people to do business with.
Yeah.
Some of them are just my friends now, and other ones I'll almost probably never get a referral from them. However, they'll say, oh, I'm looking for real estate agents right now. I'll just be roaming around the networking event. And as soon as I find one, I'll go, hey, you got to come meet my buddy, Josh. And I'll just walk him over there.
Yeah.
And it's just, it'll come back around. I got the little yin yang tattooed on my forearm for a reason. It always comes back around. And I believe I'm very faithful. I believe that the big man upstairs takes care of all, no matter what happens.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. You take care of your people, people take care of you. And yeah, it's a different timeline. It might not happen at that event, at that moment, at that year, but yeah, it's just bound to happen. And honestly, I think it multiplies because it's not, particularly if you start growing expertise and experience with something, like you don't know the ripple effect you have on people. So it might seem like you helped one person, but that person can help someone else. And so it's actually massive.
Exactly. And it's not all about money too. Yeah. Just making an impact is cool.
100%, bro. 100%. Well, are you building anything of your own projects on the side?
With OpTech or separate?
Just separate. I just figured I'd ask.
And not really. I have a bunch of sticky notes here with a bunch of things I want to do and ideas I have. It's just OpTech is taking a majority of my time, and then I just do crypto on the side.
Dude, the bull run's massive right now.
It's insane. I'm just in a big group with meme coins right now on Base Chain, and those things are flying. There's kids in here that just join. They'll throw in $300, and 2 weeks later, they're at 15K from that initial 300 they were playing with.
Wow, man.
Because all these meme coins are going 100x, they're going 10x, and then they do another 10x, and they got a 5x over here. It's a crazy time to be alive, and it is the best time to get wealthy.
Yeah.
If you're smart, you can get rich or you can get wealthy. You get rich, it's going to last you a year or two, maybe. You get wealthy, it's going to last to your kids.
Yeah, honestly. Do you think it's going to last, the bull run's going to last like 12 months, you think?
My thoughts on it right now is, so Bitcoin just bounced off its ATH last week, bounced off 69,000, and I haven't checked it too much today. I think it's hovering around 67 or something like that, and the halving hasn't even come yet. And I just saw a statistic saying that the demand for Bitcoin was something, I want to say around 3,000 Bitcoins a day was the demand. The miners are only producing 900 right now. After the halving, it'll go down to 450.
Yeah.
And after each halving, there historically there's been a big dip after the halving. And then I forget the time frame, but a certain time frame after the halving, everything just skyrockets.
Yeah. The halving's in April, right?
I think so, yeah. Next month.
Yeah, man.
One of my buddies was saying it's meme coin March and then shit coin April or something like that.
Yeah, man. No, it's a good time, and yeah, it's the information age, as technically the attention age, but just having access to all this information.
Guilty of the attention being on Reels a lot of times.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Hey, that's how we met, though. Instagram.
Dude, that's awesome, man. No, I'm so glad we did.
I wanted to circle back to that connection thing you were saying.
Yeah.
You and I just met because I just shot you a DM.
That's right.
And most people would go, oh, I don't. He'll probably never reply. I just shoot people DMs. Shoot the girl the shot. Shoot the business partner the shot. Go walk into a random networking event and just talk to people. It's 100%. The only way that's going to happen. Those synchronicities.
100%, bro. Yeah, no, it's, you get this with sales. Like you have the fortunes in the follow up. Like even if like the prospect or anyone you want to connect with doesn't respond immediately, it's just that muscle that you're building in doing so is everything.
Yeah, some of my best deals and connections have come from cold calls.
Nice. Yeah, man. It's the way, man. And yeah, I mean, I'm on the East Coast now too. So if I come up to New York, Boston area, I'll definitely let you know. We should meet up and do something.
Absolutely. I know all the good dinner spots in Boston. So
let's go, bro.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Well, I'm going to attach your social to the footnotes of the show. Do you want me to funnel anybody towards UpTech or anything.
Yeah, if anybody wants to reach out to me via Instagram DM or my email, robert@optechpay.com, we can see what we can do about helping you out with a gateway for your online needs, your virtual needs. Or if anyone listening has a physical store, we service all of, really, we can do international. Anywhere in the world, we can do processing.
Nice, bro. Well, Robert, appreciate it. This has been really good talk. And yeah, man. Appreciate the support.
Absolutely. Pleasure.